Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two phones that are pushing the boundaries of technology. These are the Oppo Find X and the Vivo Nex. Now, these two smartphones are trying to have an all-screen design by minimizing the bezel as much as possible. And they have done this by doing some interesting things to the camera. And yeah, it's not about the placement of the camera as much as, you know, some kind of a pop-up mechanism for the camera. But to talk about that, we have two people who have used these phones. So one of them is Shobhit Verma.
Hi guys.
Yeah, and we also have Ankit Chawla on the podcast.
Hey, hi.
Hi. Now, Shobhit and Ankit both work out of Gadgets 360's Delhi office, and Ankit is joining us for the first time on the podcast. But before I talk about him, let me quickly introduce Shobhit. For those of you who don't know him, he's our in-house audio expert and our resident Android fan. I should say stock Android fan. Ankit is a news writer, and he also does some reviews and features for the site. So first thing we should speak about is probably the price of these two smartphones. So Shobhit, you want to talk about the Vivo Nex? I think we are recording this maybe, 2 days before the podcast will be released. So I do understand that we don't have the final price, but if you can give an estimate, that'll be great.
Yeah, so we have heard that the phone will be priced around 49,000. I mean, there was some code that was found in Amazon's website that said 40,990 at the end. So we can expect the smartphone to be priced in the 40,000 price bracket. According to my experience, the price of 49,000 will be, you know, a bit too optimistic, because the phone is something which has a lot of innovation in it, but it's as frustrating it is to use as it is, you know, exciting. So if Vivo can surprise us with a price, you know, which is slightly aggressive, it will be better for the phone.
Okay. So, Ankit, do you want to talk about the Oppo Find X and its pricing first?
Yeah, so the Oppo Find X is priced at like 59,990, which is around 60,000 rupees. And it's obviously placed in the premium segment to compete with the likes of Samsung and Apple. I went to the launch event and I had a first impressions with it, like 15-20 minutes with the phone. And I'll just give a disclaimer that this was a Chinese unit and the Indian units were not immediately available for like testing.
So first, let's talk about the design of these two phones, starting with the Oppo Find X. So the camera is the most interesting point, I believe.
Yeah, so the major difference between the Oppo Find X and the Vivo Nex is that the Oppo Find X hides both its cameras, which is the rear camera and the selfie camera, behind a slider, while the Vivo Nex just has a small pop-up slider for the selfie camera. Otherwise, both of these phones have an almost bezel-less display. They have like more than 93% screen-to-body ratio. Almost everything is the same, just the design of the camera slider is different.
So, if you think about it now, the Oppo Find X is the more expensive of the two phones, probably around 10,000 rupees costlier than the Vivo Nex. And are they charging a premium just for hiding that camera inside that pop-up slider thingy?
Okay, so the specs are more or less the same. Both of these phones have the Snapdragon 845. They have up to 8 GB of RAM. They have 256 gigs of internal storage. I think the main reason that Oppo is charging a premium is because they believe that they are prototyping a first-gen technology, and pricing it, giving it a such a premium price tag, it means that it will sell only a limited amount of units, and they'll get their market testing, and I think that's their aim. Add to that, I think this premium market in India is just majorly owned by Samsung and Apple. So I think both of these brands want to get into that above 50,000 price segment and show that they are a premium brand in the country.
Okay. Shobhit, what do you think?
So, I mean, I haven't used the Find X, so cannot comment on its pricing or if it deserves the price tag or not. But I have used the Find X. And I will say
the
that...
The Nex,
feels,
you mean?
Sorry, I have used the Vivo Nex. And I will feel that... I will say that it feels more or less like a first-gen product. It feels like they are prototyping a new technology, and there are three very interesting compromises that they have made in order to achieve the impressive 93% screen to body ratio, and that is the fingerprint sensor which is embedded inside the display. The phone does not have an earpiece or a speaker at the front, so the whole glass vibrates to reproduce sound, front glass. And the front selfie camera pops up, which is the most popular and the most impressive feature of the phone. So these three features are features that, you know, a cynical person might consider as gimmicks, but, you know, it's better than a notch. The pop-up selfie camera is better than having a notch. It eliminates that ugly notch at the front and lets you have a seamless display at front. But the whole overall experience of the phone is slightly frustrating, because there are a lot of there's a whole feeling that, you know, you're using a first gen product. For example, the in-display fingerprint sensor has been improved a lot from Vivo's previous products. The speed is much better, but the accuracy is still lacking. There are times 9 out of 10 the fingerprint sensor works very well, and when it does, you're always impressed. It never fails to impress you that wow, this technology is there and you're using it on in a phone. But when it fails to work, you know, you kind of miss having a normal fingerprint sensor. You're like, okay, fine, this gimmick is nice, but, you know, it's irritating that it's not working right now. And the same with the front camera. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've impressed people by showing that to them, and everybody has come up with, wow, that's amazing. But it's slow to rise up. There are so many times when, you know, you're standing, posing for a selfie, and you're waiting for the camera to come up. So that's kind of, it sounds like first world problems, but that microsecond that you're waiting for the camera to come up is slightly irritating in the long run. And my biggest gripe with the phone is the same I had with the original Mi Mix, which is the earpiece, or the lack of it, that is. So because the whole front glass vibrates, so it's very difficult to hear what other people are saying at the other end of the call. So they sound muffled. So, I mean, all of these are technologies that are innovative, but as an overall experience that you're using a 50,000 phone, these add up in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, if you think about it, like, this is something that I've said even in a previous episode of this podcast, where we were talking about the Vivo X21, which was another phone which had like some groundbreaking technology, which is that fingerprint sensor which you just spoke about, the on-display fingerprint sensor where you touch your thumb or your other fingers to a glass panel on the front and the phone unlocks. So with that, at least the problem was that you had to touch a particular spot, and I believe it's the same with the Vivo Nex as well. Like, there,
yeah,
is,
you have to touch a particular spot. But I mean, what I've not used the Vivo X21, but people who have used both are telling me that the speed is much improved.
So,
because I did not find the fingerprint sensor particularly slow at all.
Yeah, but, you know, as like your larger point still stands, right? This is ultimately prototype technology. Other companies, you know, such as the market leaders that you mentioned earlier, the likes of Samsung and Apple, or even to that extent, maybe Google with its Pixel lineup of phones, probably would not release this kind of a prototype, and, you know, will not put it out to the market. But somehow Chinese companies, they are a little more, they're a little more, maybe a little less worried about how the market will react to their phone and all that, and they are more willing to take a risk. If the prototype is near ready, then they are pushing it out to the market. Now, we saw this with the Xiaomi Mi Mix as well, the original one, where they had tried an all-screen design, which was near all-screen once again, not completely all-screen. And they had pushed it out to the market even before the phone was ready. And that was only in the Chinese market, not in the Indian market. Whereas now we are seeing this regularly with Oppo and Vivo, where whenever they have, you know, technology that's sort of pushing the boundaries, just to be the first to get there, they are pushing it out. Now, I believe these two companies are owned by the same parent company, which is BBK Electronics. So it is sort of not very, very surprising to see that they are trying to do this, you know, having that one selling point and unique marketing thing, which also, it's not like it doesn't work. It works, but it's not perfect that they're pushing it out. So do you guys feel that with the Oppo Find X and the Vivo Nex, at the prices at which these phones are being released, you know, those prototypes should not be in the market, and they should maybe perfect it a bit more before they come to market? Or do you think it's fine to release it first and then see what issues are there and iron it out in the second iteration?
Okay, so before I talk about the pricing, I just like to comment on the larger picture a bit. So the thing is that these technologies are just here to so that the companies can ditch the display notch, which is kind of the trend these days. So the notch is the thing that has to go. So I mean, these pop-up cameras and these slider cameras, they're just a means to an end. They're not the final product. This is what I got from their Oppo company management, and when I talked to a couple of journalists as well, they said that this is a means to the end. I don't know what the future lies, where the future lies, but slider cameras are just a compromise we need to make to hide the notch.
And also to add to that, if I have to say this, that, you know, it's been 3 years reviewing products for me, and no product that I've reviewed since the iPhone 10 has commanded more attention than the Vivo X. So, I mean, they might be a bit, you know, inconvenience in day-to-day use, but, you know, these kind of things work in commanding attention from the audience. So my mother, who doesn't care about the phones I review at all, she doesn't care about Snapdragons or, you know, 8GB RAM or anything, was mesmerized by the camera or mesmerized by the in-display fingerprint sensor. So these kind of things are, you know, they will help raise the profile of the company. And also, as you said, they are owned by BBK. So they also own Oppo, right? OnePlus. And OnePlus is their mainstream brand. And they are not introducing these technologies with OnePlus products. They are introducing them with Oppo and Vivo, whose audience is very different. Their audience are willing to invest in technologies like this and are willing to work with the company to maybe iron out the flaws or maybe ditch one technology altogether if it doesn't work. I, for one, am at odds with these. I mean, as a reviewer who is reviewing a product for what it is, I have to, you know, point out the flaws in a technology. I have to point out that the display sensor is inaccurate at times. I have to point out that the pop-up selfie camera, you know, how mesmerizing it is, how cool it is, you know, it has some flaws. But the other part of me as a mainstream consumer loves the fact that companies are actually trying to do something different and trying to eliminate that notch, because the notch at the end of the day is just a compromise.
So Shobhit, in a previous episode of the podcast, I believe you have criticized the notch quite a bit. You know, like you saying is that other companies should not copy the notch because it is a compromise made by Apple in their quest to get an all-screen design. But what they are doing is just to look like that iPhone 10. They are using the notch as, you know, some kind of a stopgap, you know. But on the Android side, if you look at it, gestures are still not, you know, perfect. I think Android P is making that better. But if you have an all-screen design and have the three buttons at the bottom, it sort of does not make that much sense to me. I think, you know, an overhaul of the UI at some point is needed, where you have an alternative if you have so much screen space. And I think in these two phones also, the same problem probably persists. So that brings me to the software and navigation. So far, what have you seen in this?
So Vivo has actually, tried to, let's say, they have been inspired by Apple, I'll say that, in terms of gestures. So the phone by default has the three on-screen buttons. But if you, you know, dig down into settings, and you really have to dig down because the settings are a confused and cluttered mess, you can enable the gestures. And the gestures are quite a lot like Apple's. I mean, the only thing is, now with Apple iPhone 10, you have to invoke the control center from the top. In the Vivo X, you have to invoke the control center from the bottom. The recent app's gesture is exactly the same as the iPhone 10, and so is the gesture to go home. I mean, on a positive note, most of the gestures are implemented very well, except the recent app's gesture, which is very buggy and very difficult to, you know, invoke. So, I mean, Vivo is moving towards, you know, eliminating the buttons, and I liked moving the gestures all in all, but they need a bit of spit and polish.
I'd just like to butt in here. So I've used full screen gestures on both the Oppo Find X as well as the Vivo X. But I found that the ones on the Oppo are much more easy to use. and they're much more fluid in their appearance. Even even the Oppo's Find X has the same kind of gestures. They are the back gesture on the right, home gesture in the middle, but it seems much more fluid to use.
Yeah, I mean, what I got from Ankit's observations was that the software experience overall was much more fluid and optimized on the Oppo. I mean, I'll have to use it to confirm it, but my biggest pet peeve with the Vivo Nex, because I've been very impressed with the hardware, the Snapdragon 845 and 8GB RAM power the phone beautifully. I mean, it never slows down, but the biggest pet peeve for me has been the software.
So you are clearly not a fan of that iOS lookalike UI that they use in the software in their custom Android version.
So the issue with FunTouch OS right now for me is not the that it's an iOS lookalike. I have stopped caring about that long time ago, because I have accepted that these Chinese phones love iOS and they'll love to imitate it, and that's something we have to live with. That's a design choice they made. But the issue right now is, I mean, it seems that the 19.3 to 9 aspect ratio of this phone, which is a rather weird aspect ratio, has not been optimized well for third party applications. So I experienced a lot of application crashes to the amount that I've not experienced in phones for a long time. Some applications do not stretch well to the screen. If you fill them up to the aspect ratio, they start behaving weirdly and all of their content starts stretching out. Then there are certain weird things in the OS themselves. There are 35 sub options in the menu. There is no search bar. So as a tech journalist, it took me around half an hour to dig down in the menu and realize what all options are there. There are so many gestures and so many these so-called smart controls that a normal consumer, I mean, I'm not judging them, or I think they will go crazy. I swear to God, I literally had to take down a pen and paper and jot down all the gestures this phone comes with and all these smart features this phone comes with. So they really have to simplify all that. And the amount of bloat, there are the first two pages of the home screen are full of the pre-installed apps. So that those kind of things, again, Pranay, you have told me this before in the podcast that, you know, I love stock Android and, you know, I should come to embrace these skins. But I tried my best, but FunTouch OS really has some issues.
Also, it's slightly surprising that given these phones are priced above the 40,000 price segment, especially in a price sensitive market like India, they're full of drawbacks. Like the Oppo Find X doesn't have a 3.5mm headphone jack, it doesn't have an in-display fingerprint sensor, nor does it have a regular fingerprint sensor. And on the other side, the Vivo Nex doesn't have face unlock, nor does it have a regular fingerprint sensor. And add to that, both of these have movable hardware parts. So both of the brands do not explicitly mention that they don't have water resistance, but we aren't expecting any kind of water resistance on these phones.
So yeah, like I said earlier, I'm not entirely in agreement with Oppo and Vivo, where their prototype technologies also make it to the market. I've not used these two phones, but from what you guys have told me and whatever I've read on the site, based on whatever you've written, it does appear to me that these phones have a significant drawbacks that you have to live with. And after paying 40,000 and 60,000 and whatever price they're charging, I don't think I would be very happy with living with those drawbacks. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty big downside as far as I'm concerned. And secondly, it should also be mentioned that if you pay that much money for a Samsung phone or a Google Pixel or an iPhone, at the end of the day, you get a polished experience with maybe a few bucks that are like fixed on an iterative basis. But with these phones, you know, I don't even know what the update cycle is like and what kind of bug fixes you can expect and how many of these bugs are actually hardware issues that can't be fixed. So I don't know, you guys will probably have a better idea.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to ascertain whether the fingerprint sensor inaccuracy is a hardware issue or a software issue. And you're talking about, I think you hit the nail on the head by saying the word unpolished. The biggest takeaway from this phone is it's very impressive. And, you know, it leaves me with a smile on the face, but it's unpolished. And my biggest pet peeve with this phone is that you pay 40,000 or 50,000, whatever, and the phone comes with pre-installed apps like NewsPoint, UC Browser, WPS Office, and PhonePe. I mean, if Vivo can charge 50,000 for a phone, I'm pretty sure they do not need the revenue that comes from bundling these apps on a 50,000 phone.
So what I believe in the, what I've believed in the past 3-4 years is that Oppo and Vivo phones actually act as reference designs for Samsung and Apple flagships. Whether be it dual rear cameras, full screen displays, or in this case, slider cameras. I mean, the Samsungs, Googles, and Apples of the world, they can see these phones and see what went wrong. And they can implement the good things in their flagships. So it's kind of good for the mobile market.
Yeah. And also, based on what we've seen so far from the companies you mentioned, I think these phones are already there in their R&D labs and they are working on like reaching a certain level of quality. For example, I don't think after this, you know, any company is going to come out and say release a phone that's maybe not water resistant, but it has this pop-up camera. Like, I think they will all, even, you know, Google, Apple, Samsung, all of these companies will work towards a phone that if they build a pop-up camera in the first place, which itself is a big question mark, they will make sure that it has at least a basic level of water resistance and it is sort of IP rated at some level so that, you know, some amount of dust doesn't like stop that mechanical part from working properly. So, you know, we'd like to see how this thing works. So, see, like my worry always is that in a country such as India, dust pollution is quite up there, you know, and you guys live in Delhi, so you must be like very closely familiar with that. Will the Vivo Nex and the Oppo Find X like survive in a high dust environment? I am not so sure. Now, we've had flip phones for years now that work properly, even, you know, after like say 5 or 6 years of use. It's not like the flip mechanism stops working. But with this, I worry that dust will get trapped in that tiny little crevice where the camera comes in from. And then over a period of time, that pop-up mechanism will not be as smooth and it'll start like getting stuck slowly and you'll probably have to clean it. I don't know, like since you guys have seen the phones, maybe you are in a better position to comment on things like this.
Also, I mean, whenever that pop-up camera comes up, this thought never escapes me. What if you drop the phone when the pop-up camera is out? It will be catastrophic. I mean,
yeah,
whatever you are saying, the long run consequences are always, will always be in anybody's mind who buys it. Whenever the phone comes up, the pop-up camera comes out, it traps dust and the dust goes inside the mechanism. But what if you drop the phone when the pop-up camera is out? I mean, to credit to Vivo, they do bundle a very high quality case in the box.
Brings me to that question, right? Like even if you use a case, it will have to have a hole at the top.
It does.
So that sort of, you know, like usually you will have it at the back of the phone. There will be a hole for the camera, but this one will be at the top. And I think personally, I'm not extremely comfortable with having such a huge vacant area at the top of the phone. Because, you know, once again, like I have concerns about dust protection. And then, you know, if you want a waterproof case for this phone, then again, you know, the option.
Then I guess you can't use the front camera.
Yeah. So
if you want a waterproof case.
Yeah, exactly. So then there are so many compromises that we already can see that, you know, that you will have to make in your day-to-day use.
One more thing I'd like to add is that the phone is huge. It's impossible to use in one hand. It's actually difficult to use with two hands as well. I mean, it's one of the most cumbersome phones I've used in a long time. I mean, I know we are sounding very pessimistic and very negative, but the phone is actually quite impressive. You know, 256 GB storage, 128 GB storage, 8 GB RAM, Snapdragon 845, brilliant display. It all sounds amazing, but the problem is we're talking about a price point where the little things matter. Like ergonomics, like software. And that's where this phone falters a little for me.
Yeah, I would say it falters more than a little. Because after paying that price, okay, fine. If I want a toy to impress everyone around me, you know, wherever I go, if I want to have a conversation starter or something, then like it's fun, sure. But after paying 60,000 or 50,000 for this, I'm not too sure. You know, like at that price, I would rather just buy something else and maybe work on my personality to, you know, start more conversations if I'm having trouble with that. But you know, I don't think it's worth paying that much price and then living with all of these issues. Cool. So it's important to point out that these phones were launched in two different variants in China, one of which had a lower end processor, the Snapdragon 710. That was called the Vivo Nex A, and the phone that they are launching in India as Vivo Nex, it is called the Vivo Nex S in China. So the Vivo Nex A probably would have made for a better price point in India. Launching a phone at 50,000 rupees and then expecting people to live with a bunch of compromises is probably asking a bit too much. Maybe you know, around the price of the Vivo X21 or even below it, maybe you can ask people to live with these compromises, but maybe not at 50,000. But you know, with the Find X in particular, I'm really concerned. Like, I don't know, Ankit, do you feel that, you know, all the compromises that were mentioned here, they apply to the Find X as well? And do you think that people should pay 60,000 for that phone nonetheless?
So I just like to reiterate my point that these price tags don't exactly mean anything for Oppo and Vivo. At this price point, only Samsung and Apple sells phones in India successfully. So they just want to position this themselves in the premium segment to show that they can launch phones and they can sell phones in the 50,000 or the 60,000 price segment. For example, the Oppo Find X is priced at around 1,000 euros in Europe, which is around 80,000 rupees. But they decided to price it at 60,000 rupees. So it's not that they are making a loss or they're making a profit. They just want to show that they can launch a 60,000 rupee phone in this country, and that they can compete with Samsung and Apple.
Yeah, it's like a token part of their lineup to show that, you know, we also have a flagship smartphone and we can also compete with the big boys. It's like car manufacturers sometimes release flagship cars or release, you know, extremely expensive cars. Like Maruti tried with the Kizashi, which they know will never sell, but they, you know, they want to position themselves in the premium segment.
Yeah, but there is still some way to go before these guys can compete directly with the likes of
Yeah,
the
but
Google
you
Pixel.
Actually raised a very interesting point. If they release the next A in India, I guess, with the 710, which is a very capable processor in its own right, and they would have been able to price it less, you know, at around 35 maybe, I think it would have been a very capable phone. Because these kind of innovations are something that some people really appreciate. And at that price point, some of these compromises would have been very easy to live with. So I guess your point is very interesting.
Yeah, but then again, if you think about it, the Vivo Nex A, I mean, that if they had released that phone in India, maybe, just maybe, it would have been too close to the price of the Vivo X21, which is around 35,000 in India. So I don't think they wanted that phone to eat into the sales of the Vivo X21. And it's also
I think, as Ankit said, they wanted to send a message with both phones. So
yeah,
they just want to send a message that we can make flagships and we can compete with the big boys. So I guess that their intention is never to sell volumes.
Yes, but what I don't understand is that Oppo and Vivo are owned by, you know, the same company. Yeah, so the OnePlus is, you know, their launch schedule is set. They launch two phones in a year. One is whatever, OnePlus 6. The next will be 6T probably. So they have that, you know, iterative approach where two phones a year, we'll improve the first one. We'll have like all the new features. Second one, we'll improve it slightly. Whatever went wrong with the first one, we'll do that. But if you look at Oppo and Vivo, these two, you know, they act like essentially they launch phones with like similar tech. Yeah, similar, there or thereabouts. Basically, in the R&D lab, they probably had like two different design options. So let's do A-B testing in the market. So Oppo Find X with the camera on both sides in that pop-up thingy, and the Vivo Nex, which has like only the front camera on the pop-up, and it has an in-display fingerprint sensor as well. So these two phones, they are launched at the same time. Then if you think about it, that Oppo F7 and the Vivo V9, both phones with the notch display, which are probably the first ones to make it to India with the notch, they also launched around the same time at around the same price. So I seriously don't understand this product strategy where you launch two phones from different brands which are essentially the same or like very, very close to each other at around the same price point. And you know, you can apply the same logic to the Vivo Next and the Oppo Find X, where like there is a 10,000 rupee difference in the price point, sure, but somebody who can afford to pay 50,000 for a phone, they can afford to pay 60,000 as well. So I don't understand this product strategy at all. Like, do you guys like think there is any method to the madness?
Yeah, so actually this product strategy is nothing new. I mean, again, taking an example from the world of automobiles, if you see Volkswagen and Skoda, I mean, these two companies are doing part sharing and chassis sharing for a long time. They take the same car exactly and sell it under different names. I mean, the Skoda Rapid and the Volkswagen Vento are exactly the same cars. The Rapid sells for a lower price, the Vento sells for a higher price, but they are the same cars with a different face. I mean, because and they cater to different markets. I think and Nissan and Renault do it. A lot of companies do that. So I what you're saying is exactly right. The phones and Huawei does it with Honor. I mean, a lot of Honor and Huawei phones are exactly the same with different names sold in countries across the world just because of different brands. So it's a case of sticking things against the wall and seeing what sticks. So it's, they don't care if one brand is cannibalizing the other as long as their own products are selling. So it's a case of flooding the market with products. So I think the strategy is working for them. I mean, if they had only one brand, Oppo, you would have maybe a X or Y or Z brand would have come and, you know, been in the position where Vivo was. But now Oppo and Vivo have, you know, flooded the market, and now you go in Delhi streets and everywhere you see Oppo and Vivo boards around. And the best part is both are owned by the same company. So I think the strategy is working for them.
So I think on that note, we'll close this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also email us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe via Google Podcasts app on your Android phone or the Apple Podcasts app on your iPhone. Thank you so much for listening.